Before we get started, a special thank you is in order to our friends over at Stanley Customs. Stanley Customs creates amazing custom sports figurines for all you athletes out there. Right now, our listeners will get 15% off their order, and all interviewees will get 25% off their order simply by going to Stanley_Customs on Instagram and telling them that Globally Ballin sent you. Thank you. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Globally Ballin podcast, a product of the Globally Ballin podcast network. We have a fantastic interview for you today, so sit back and enjoy, and thank you all for joining us one more time. Here's the music. I gotta let you go. Finish the game with a broken hand.
Yeah, finish the game with...
I'm Rio 2016 silver medalist and Asian Games 2018 gold medalist.
Young man, how do you use a celebrity for good? You know, up until that point, most of us as athletes were taught on it, use the celebrity to manipulate, to get a girl, to get famous, to get whatever it is.
We're hours away from kind of the nearest hospital. He ended up losing his leg over.
I don't think a lot of people know the opportunities there are actually to play overseas, especially in the women's category.
Actually broke my neck. I was paralyzed from the waist down, and I was never supposed to walk again, much less be able to play football again.
Had a couple guys get robbed at gunpoint, and one of them was just like, "Jay, get me out."
At the same time, there are some who would still keep their 9-to-5 jobs because the pay for being an athlete isn't enough.
Don't complain when we look like idiots abroad in these big tournaments.
What league or country gave you the best pay contract-wise?
Probably Turkey my last season.
Okay. With the SEA Games, short for Southeast Asian Games, 2019 coming up in 2 months or so, it only made sense that we focus some of our episodes on the idea of international competition. This is seen by our last episode being an interview with Heidelin Diaz, gold medal favorite in the Southeast Asian Games, gold medalist in the past Asian Games, silver medalist in the Rio Games, and a gold medal hopeful in the 2020 Tokyo Games. International athletics bring to mind for me a series of questions in no particular order, but I question things like, what's the point? What's the point of sending athletes from all over the world to compete with each other once every 4 years for the Olympics? Of course, we know we have international competitions and challenges throughout the years before the Olympics, but if you look at it just at the Olympic scale, what's the point of that? What's the point of countries investing money in these athletes? If you listen to our last episode with Heidelin Diaz, there's a segment at the end where I talk with my friend Lance Fernandez, the host of the Limahan Basketball Podcast, and we talk about funding that Heidelin has struggled with and fought for. There's been claims that on the one side, people might say that the Philippine Sports Commission hasn't given her enough, and yet one side might say that they've given her too much. But it all really comes down to, what's the point of the government funding for these athletes? Anyway, is it an investment? Are they sending money to these athletes knowing and hoping that these athletes then in turn generate revenue to help the country in some way? Or are they simply investing in pride? Are they giving money to these athletes simply because they'll come home with a gold medal and use that as a way to bring pride in a nation? Do they see some sort of value in that? If they do, what's that value? Is it monetary or is it simply ideological? I talked about that article that's pretty old in my last episode, how the Philippines is listed as the number one country without a gold medal and has no excuse. But then I think, so what? Maybe that's a big deal. Maybe it's not. I don't know. That's why I talk to other people, so they can tell me things, because I don't know stuff. Why does it matter that a country doesn't have a gold medal? Does it matter? Should it matter? Does it matter to everybody? I don't know. There's a lot of questions. What's the point of all this? You ask somebody like me, born and raised in the United States, fairly large sports fan, and I could list to you maybe 15 Olympians from my life. Percentage-wise, that's a pretty low number. You go to other countries, they'll have different scenarios. Maybe they'll have a higher percentage, maybe they'll have a lower percentage. And then, of course, there's also the life after being an Olympian. Your finances aren't the same. Your lives aren't the same. What was it all for? Was it worth putting your life life on hold for that amount of time for something that will be remembered by some, maybe many, but also forgotten by many as well. It seems as though I have a dim view on this, and I don't. I enjoy the competition a lot, and I see a lot of value in it, but it's my job to bring as much question as possible into all this to make sure that there's value there somewhere. I did my best to raise these questions to my guest for today, who is Karen Caballero, who is a representative for the Southeast Asian Games and is on tour all over Southeast Asia right now, promoting it and bringing as much attention to it as possible, bringing as many fans to it as possible. She did a great job, and I really appreciate that. That was just a bit of the ramblings of the questions in my head, and hopefully we find some answers. We'll kind of regroup after the interview and see what we think, see if some of those questions were answered. So I thank in advance to Karen for her time and her interview. I appreciate it, and enjoy.
Hey everybody, this episode is brought to you by an additional sponsor. We are now also brought to you by Creating Young Minds. Creating Young Minds is a nonprofit out of Lewisville, Texas, right outside of Dallas. You may remember we've had an episode in the past with the founders of Creating Young Minds, Dr. Shira Ackerman and Coach Mathis Crowder. Creating Young Minds strives to help young men achieve success in their life where they may not have otherwise achieved that success. One way they do this is through their new basketball team. The Lewisville Yellow Jackets, affiliated with Creating Young Minds, play in TBL, the basketball league, and through a combination of their nonprofit as well as their basketball team, Creating Young Minds and the Lewisville Yellow Jackets are doing their best to bring the European model of basketball to the United States. That is Creating Young Minds. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, basically everywhere. Find Creating Young Minds, check them out, see what they're all about. And when the TBL league rolls around, once again, keep an eye out for the Lewisville Yellow Jackets. Thank you.
My name is Karen Caballero. That's my full name, but you can call me Karen.
Karen? Okay. Mm. Awesome. Okay, so first of all, why don't you start off telling us who you are and what your role is?
Oh, yeah. Well, currently, I am the sports director for the Philippine Sea Games Organizing Committee. We call it FISGOC. I am also the president of Filipina Sepak Takraw. I'm not so sure if you're familiar with the sport, but it's really it's innately Southeast Asian sport. And it's pretty much like watching foot volleyball.
So yes.
It's a very, yeah. So that's what I do. Apart from that, I have my own little business that's into food and just family business. So that's pretty much myself in a nutshell.
Okay, so when competitions like this, like the Sea Games, roll around, your life changes a little bit as far as what you're doing. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's correct, Aaron. Pretty much, this is like 80% of my adult time is dedicated, especially that we are about 19 for games until games time in November. We open in November, but games would start coming in for eliminations as early as November 25. So it's going to be a very busy next couple of weeks for us in FISGOC.
Exactly. So what anybody listening, what we were talking about is the beginning of the SEA Games, or the Southeast Asian Games 2019, being hosted in Manila in the Philippines. And so what is kind of the history behind the SEA Games?
Well, it started with CAAP in 1959, if I'm not mistaken. This SEA Games was really created to specifically empower. It's a multi-sporting event that happens every 2 years. It's really to empower Southeast Asia as a sporting bloc. Well, a fun fact, I think the 2019 edition would be the biggest, with over 56 sports and 530 events. So this is a historic moment, not just for the Philippines, but for the SEA Games Federation. It's really basically to ensure that Southeast Asian, because this is under the IOC, the International Olympic Committee and Olympic Council of Asia, we are aligned with them in terms of sports. But of course, also SEA Games is all about entertaining non-Olympic sports, such as ours. And for this year, it would be interesting to know that since we're going, you know, with the changing times, we will be hosting the esports and skateboarding, which will be included in Tokyo 2020 Olympics.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So what you said, it the SEA Games stand as an empowerment for Southeast Asia. How exactly do international competitions or something like this stand as empowerment for Southeast Asia?
Well, because elite teams from 11 countries, from 11 Southeast Asian countries, really look forward every 2 years to go to be going here. Because, as you know, the Asian Games happens every 4 years.
Yes.
Pretty much like an Olympic year. So this is a good prelude to, you know, preparing for Asian Games. And, of course, their respective World Games and, of course, ultimately the Olympics. So the trainings and conditionings are continuous because this happens every 2 years. So elite athletes from the Southeast Asian region really look forward to going around the Southeast Asian region to specifically compete with our counterparts.
Okay, so you talked about the addition of the esports. What other key additions or maybe key removals have there been in the change to the 2019 SEA Games?
I'm not so sure about removals, but we've certainly added some interesting sports that's growing in the region. We have, in fact, we have Sambo. We have a couple of contact sport games like Sambo and Jiu-Jitsu, Crush is also gaining a popularity. So we are really opening doors of opportunities to not just the usual Olympic sport. Of course, a mandatory sport being athletics and aquatics, but we're giving a window of opportunity to other growing sports in the region, not just in Southeast Asia, but in Asia.
What kind of standards are held before or a sport is added to the SEA Games?
Well, of course, it has to be at par with the usual Olympic standards, if I may say so. But of course, the strict sport rule of the games of each sport is being honored and respected, because only the technical delegate that's assigned by each sport, international or Asian federation, is assigned to be the technical delegate, meaning we would honor the international law of each game for each sport. So this is absolutely following Asian and world standards in as far as each sport is being performed.
Okay. Does the SEA Games hold any sort of power for qualifying for the Olympics?
No, I'm not so sure if weightlifting and I believe athletics. There are a couple of games. I'm quite certain that athletics for these 2019 CISA edition, it's just qualifying for one qualifier for Olympics. And I'm not so sure about weightlifting.
Okay. And so when it comes to the actual competition of the sports, are they held in basically the same area? Is it all, are they able to combine it into or host it mostly in the Manila area, or do they have to go out of the national capital region?
You know, this is what's interesting about SEA Games is each host are given an elbow room of opportunity to showcase the sports tourism in their respective country. So in our case, in the Philippines, we have divided into three major locations, which is Metro Manila, Subic, and Clark. Those are Subic and Clark are north of Metro Manila.
Mm-hmm.
We have considered that December being the busiest holiday season of the year, we have to equally divide. At the same time, this division would give opportunity for our incoming guests from Southeast Asia to see that the Philippines is beyond Metro Manila, that there are other interesting places nearby, such as Subic and Clark, who happens to be a growing sporting destination, tourism destination in the country.
Sure. So one of the other thoughts is, especially from the outside looking in, to any listeners who may not be super familiar with parts of Southeast Asia, is what kind of concerns are raised when it comes to security when you're opening up a competition like this?
Security is paramount for us in the Philippines, most definitely. And the past SEA Games that I have attended in Singapore and Malaysia, it has also been a big concern and a big consideration when hosting this event. In the Philippines, we have a Games and Security Service specifically handling by the Philippine National Police and some of our gentlemen and women from the Armed Forces of the Philippines. So we are in constant communication and in alignment with Visa Special Agency. In fact, even the Office of the President has mandated through Circular 56 that all government agencies are mandated to support the initiatives of the FISCOC, which is the organizing body of the SEA Games.
I want to take kind of a broader look and ask
you know, what is the point? What, you know, what do you think the point of these international competitions, not just the SEA Games, but international competitions as a whole, what's the point of them?
Well, you know, sports has always been a uniting factor. It's being downplayed into just sports. But really, for me, even my advocacy is sports is part of nation building. It's part of region building, such as Southeast Asia. So sports forges more understanding, more mutual respect. So beyond athleticism that it brings on the table, it is a uniting factor, whether we notice it or not. Sports is really a binding factor between between countries competing. And I think we should have more of these, especially in this day and age of social media, where kids are not really big on sports anymore, not as much. But I think that's what's really important with this kind of initiative.
And you know, what value, I know you said it's a uniting factor, but what kind of values does this bring?
Well, discipline for athletes, most definitely love of flag. There is something romantic about going out of the country and bringing the national flag or your flag on your shirt. And you know that when you do something, you do it not just for yourself, but out of love for the country that you represent. I think that's what I've seen through the years, even myself as an athlete. It is that love of flag, love of country. I think that we're sort of missing out in the recent years, but that's the way I see it for myself.
Do you think there's ever a danger with too much representation of the flag, or I'm just playing devil's advocate, you know, an increased level of any sort of nationalism in a sense that leads to cheating or anything like that in international competition?
The way I see it, while sports really promises potential values to athletes, cheating, you know, even issues of doping has always been an incessant issue when it comes to our world. But I don't think it's such a bad thing to have that kind of value. It's really just self-management, I guess. It's more of, I think anything in excess is just not good. But I think, you know, patriotism has never been an issue to me. But in terms of cheating and whatnot, it's something that it's been an incessant issue time immemorial. I really don't know how to answer that. But of course, with strictly following international guidance of each law of the game, I mean, that could be one guiding factor for each games to be protected in terms of cheating. And you know, especially if I may say so, that the Philippines, the recent SEA Games, we are big on making sure that safe sport and, of course, anti-doping through WADA are strictly followed across all sports.
Mm. Okay. And then what do you see as the role of a nation's government when it comes to international athletics?
Well, they work hand in hand with their respective National Olympic Committee and a third party being an organizing committee such as FISGOC. So it's a tripartite partnership, meaning the NOC cannot handle it, handle this alone, and the private sector cannot handle this alone. This is a concerted effort between, government, private sector, and of course the sporting community in that respective country. It one could not function without the other, is what I'm saying. So it is a partnership. It's part of, that nation's partnership.
What do you say then to somebody who says, you know, somebody who would argue against any sort of government funding in any way towards international athletics and competitions?
Well, for me, unless there is a solid program really specifically to handle sporting, you know, sports is it's a big business and also it's very costly to host such big event. I don't think one could function without the other. I'm coming from a place where I am in it, right in the middle of things. Each sector, the government, the private sector, and the sporting community plays an integral part. One could not, you know, it's almost like yin and yang, but with a third, you know, with a third segment. So I don't think there would be government intervention unless, of course, representative from each sector has clear-cut deliverables in terms of their part to stage such multi-sporting event.
So do you think there's any sort of room for a government to step in and put significant funding in to make sure that a team is represented in international competitions?
Yes, that's apart from funding, you know, for example, the one that Malacanang has just released, that the Office of the President has mandated all public offices all offices under the government to give their support. So we also have, people from apart from the Philippine National Police and the Army, Armed Force of the Philippines, we have our friends from the Tourism Department, Finance Department, just to make sure everybody, all hands are on deck in terms of making sure that we stage a safe, relatively corruption-free, because of course, if we were using the government funding, we had to make sure that all of us would be using the funding wisely and as transparent as we can. So everyone's part is very equally important to make sure that we stage a very good multi-sporting event.
I would agree. If anything, transparency is very important. You know, finally, I just want to give you a chance to help pitch any sort of part of the games, anything that people not in the Philippines need to know, or people in, maybe people in Southeast Asia or people in the Philippines need to know. So I kind of wanted to give you just a quick chance to add anything.
Well, this journey of Philippine Sea Games, because I think this is our fourth hosting. The last year we hosted was 13 years ago, is it? Or 2005. 13, 14 years ago. And despite the hiccups that we have been going through, everyone's excited in the organizing committee, in the National Olympic Committee, and with the government really helping us, making sure that everything would be in place. It's less than 100 days, but the Philippines is very much ready. Our athletes are very much excited to welcome everyone from our brothers and sisters, sporting brothers and sisters across the Southeast Asian region, as we host the biggest and probably the most ambitious Southeast Asian Games ever in the recent years. So we're looking forward to welcoming everyone. And we're just really, exactly how Filipinos are. We are a very warm and hospitable country, and we're just looking forward to welcoming everyone here in the Philippines come November.
Awesome. Are tickets available already?
It will be available, I believe, on September 15 onwards.
Okay.
From September 15 onwards. So it'll be ready and it will be available. You can check it out on our website. It's www.2019seagames.com.
Awesome. Karen, is there anything else you needed?
Right. No, thanks for the opportunity, Aaron.
No problem. Thank you for taking the time. Okay. I know you're busy. Thank you very much, Karen.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Another thank you to Karen for taking the time to talk with me. She's been busy, very, very, very busy, not only as, obviously as the Sea Games gets closer and closer, she's flying all over the place covering different things. So she's busy. So I thank Karen for that very, very much. But on a personal note, I'm bummed I won't be able to make it out there. The tabled plan was to try to get out there for the Sea Games. It doesn't look like that's going to happen, but I'll be there in spirit. I'm excited for them. I'll be watching not just the Philippines. It's going to be fun to watch all that. I've been watching the African Games, and competitions like this are exciting, especially when we're talking competitions that aren't, or at least, covered as much as to what I'm used to. I mean, being in the United States, I don't get coverage of the Southeast Asian Games very often, if ever, and I assume it won't be covered. And, that's always been the spirit of Globally Ballin', and that's to tell the stories of leagues and competitions in areas you may not be familiar with. One, because it brings fun stories, and it brings interesting people to come and talk with me. It gives you a chance to hear from athletes you may know about, or coaches, or any sort of management you may know about, but it also helps open our eyes, both me and the listeners, of opportunities that are out there. Now, this episode specifically may not have been speaking to opportunities for any of you people here in the States, or really any area outside of this, or really any of you outside of Southeast Asia, because in order to compete, there's certain restrictions you obviously have to qualify under. But still, the message reigns on, and we want to continue to do that. So Anna did a great job. Thank her for that very, very much. Like I said in the beginning, the whole idea of international competitions have interested me, both on a kind of patriotic level, but also on a fiscal level. Does it make sense financially? You see all those horror stories, like I mentioned, about countries that host the Olympics, and then they're left with all these abandoned facilities and these old buildings where all the athletes would stay, the Olympic villages and old racing pools and all this other stuff, of just the skeleton of what was there. And it takes a toll on the people living there, and certainly the financial ramifications are there. And I do think it's important to always dig into the financial value as well as any other sort of value. But Karen did a great job, and I thank her for that. I thank her for her time, and I enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it. So once again, thank you very much for that interview, Karen, and go check out the SEA Games if you're in the Philippines or Southeast Asia. See what you can do. Go see it, because I can. I wish I could. So you can be me. Go out to the SEA Games. Enjoy it. Have a great time. And if you're not able to, I'll see what I can do. Find out how to watch it, because I'm certainly gonna want to. So thank you all for listening to this episode. And go out and enjoy the SEA Games coming up in November. Look for tickets, like she said, in a couple of weeks, middle of September. Thank you all for making it through another episode. A couple things I got a quick run through, and then we'll be done. First, if you haven't already, go ahead and follow us on our different key platforms. First, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/globallyballin. Also, Instagram, at globallyballinofficial, and then Twitter, at globallyballin. The Instagram and Twitter are by far our most active, and they're also very different content. They're actually run by different people. So go ahead and make sure you're following both of those, and they'll also both alert you for when something new is posted, either in the podcast or Patreon, which I'm going to talk about in just a second. Also, when it comes to the Facebook account seems less active, and we're aware of that. It's different kind of content, and more is coming to the Facebook page, so you'll want to like it to make sure you're ready when a new wave of different content, which is coming soon, starts to make its way on there, which is exciting. Finally, though, is the Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com and then you search Globally Ballin, you're going to find our account. $3 a month, and with that, you're going to get a couple of things. First, shout out to all the supporters, which is great, which is actually also really good for any of you athletes out there. It's a great way to get your name, your brand, your place where people can find your highlight tapes, all that stuff. That'll be plugged in our episodes, which is great. So if you become a patron for the $3 a month, you'll get that. In addition, though, what we're really kind of excited about, not that we're not excited about the other one, is that you're going to get a bunch of extra content. It's going to be different from when I originally recorded this to when you're listening to this now. We're going to keep adding to it. There's a lot of different stuff. It might just be extra stuff that didn't fit into an episode. And there's also a whole new, different kind of content called Candid Conversations, which is basically a whole new show that we started. As the name suggests, it's a conversation between me and somebody else. For whatever reason, it doesn't fit into an episode. And if you go check out one of those Candid Conversations, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So that $3 a month, you're going to get your shout out and your help to support your brand or get attention to your highlight reel or whatever, plus a lot of extra detailed, fun content in addition to this free podcast. So go and check that out. Refresher, find us on Facebook, facebook.com/globallyballin, Instagram at globallyballinofficial, Twitter at globallyballin, and Patreon, patreon.com, search Globally Ballin, and you'll find, do the $3 a month patron if you're interested, and get all new content, a bunch of additional content. If that's not for you, totally fine. We still really appreciate you supporting and listening. If you have any suggestions, make sure you send us a message. Again, because we're most active on Instagram and Twitter, that's the best way to send us a suggestion. We'd be happy to listen and try to get anybody in that area and that sport, that country, that topic that'll help you best. So make sure you send us one of those requests. Otherwise, thank you again for listening. You'll hear from us again next week.